what we had was the kind of structure that WIM had, that is meeting in pubs, meeting once a month, open to all women, quite collaborative groups in those days. They tended to be collaborative because it was the nature of the way not just the women's movement was going, but the whole 60s, that was the spirit of the time. I don't suppose any votes were taken. It would have all been by consensus. And it compared with other groups I had belonged to, it was pretty well organized.
So what had been put in place by that time?
Well, for a start, there was a committee of several women. It wasn't one person running it. And we agreed on, I think it was probably a committee of 8 to 10 or 8 to 12 women, something like that. And each woman would be responsible for doing something specific. Somebody would act as secretary, perhaps. Or perhaps that would have rotated, because that was always contentious. Since women were kept in secretarial roles, a lot of groups would say, no, we can't have one. Nobody would volunteer to be secretary, never, because that's demeaning. So it might rotate every meeting. But somebody would be treasurer, somebody would be in charge of the membership lists, and there would be a certain amount of delegation of that sort. And there were speakers organized by one person of the committee. A meeting in general would have decided who they wanted, not which speakers, but what they want people to speak about. So you'd have somebody delegated to organize that, possibly two women if the group was too long. We might have had somebody, and I think we did fairly often, to check out finding another pub for us to meet at. Because all of the pubs had drawbacks. They would put their rates up. The first year, a pub with quite a small meeting room was sufficient. And then we began to need a somewhat bigger meeting room, which meant to move somewhere else. And I think within the first few years, we probably moved about once every 2 years, which isn't too bad a rate. And there was always something like, it will be the first Monday of the month or the first Wednesday, whatever, so that there'd be a repeating date so that we didn't have to organize too much. Someone would write up minutes. I do remember very early on telling them all of the WIM experience, where early Women in Media minutes went to members' work addresses, and particularly the BBC women all got fired, because they belonged to a women's group, and that was considered subversive by the powers that be. And so women in publishing very cautiously decided that no minutes should go to offices unless the members had said they could. So we would ask where people wanted their minutes sent. And also about within a year, we started producing a newsletter, which was called Whiplash, which we thought was terribly daring as a title. And it stipulated that no one should be mentioned in Whiplash without her consent, because Whiplash could well be seen by other people in the company. And often people would tack it on the notice board so that people could know about it. But for the first 3 or 4 years, there was a great deal of fear. The men thought this was something terribly subversive. They figured we were all these mad bra burners, which is terribly funny, because we mainly saw ourselves, I think, more than anything, as just women who are networking.